Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and mercy towards us. We ask, Lord, that as we come to you today, that we would see you as not only our Heavenly Father, but also one who is holy. Lord, you command us to be holy as you are holy. So, Lord, as we come today, we confess once again our need for you. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Christ's name, amen. So here we are. I was going over my notes, and then I thought there was special music. And what? And what? And so all of a sudden I'm going, wait a minute, I need to be in there. So I figured I'd be missed if I didn't show up. So. Well, let's stand and do the Lord's Prayer, shall we? Oh, data. We don't need it. You know it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I heard some of you say trespasses. That's all right, because that's all right. Heavenly Father, once again, as we don't want to just repeat this for the sake of repeating it, but we know this, that there the lessons you want us to learn from the study of this wonderful prayer, Lord, help us to take it to heart in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, there's power, clearly power in the name. In the context of this, the Lord's Prayer, last week we talked about that we are addressing our Heavenly Father. And it's an interesting thing because there's a lot in those two words, Heavenly Father. He's our Father, not just because He created us, but God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. So we talked about the fact how we're all God's children. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as a result of that, we ought to do all that we can do, as the Bible says, to be one with each other, to love each other. If we have challenges one with each other, then sort them out as a family. But today it moves on to another concept. It says, hallowed or holy be your name. So we want to unpack that. So here's a God who is our Father, who we can approach and talk to, the God of the universe. But he's also holy. It seems like those things are in contradiction to each other. So we want to find out what that's all about. It's interesting that as we get to the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, and then it gives us, there's actually six requests. Three are directed to God, three directed to our personal needs. The three directed to God talk the word your name, your kingdom, your will. And so in the weeks to come, we're going to unpack your kingdom and your will, but today we want to unpack your name. There's something important about a name. Years ago, my family moved from Michigan to Washington. Well, that happened on the Oregon Trail. Grandma and great-great-grandpa and grandpa came. There was nine kids, and they made their way across. Great-great-grandma died, leaving nine kids, and then they got to Vancouver, and then they started building sawmills, and it burnt down, and then my great-grandfather was married, and then he decides it would be a good idea to leave his wife and run off with her sister. Now, that's a pretty dumb idea. That's a dumb idea now, dumb idea then. So he goes to the Rogue River, starts a ferry boat service in an inn there on the at Gold Beach. And there, my grandfather, Frank Zeke, was born. There's a purpose in telling you this story. Ultimately, they would set up a hotel in Fort Bragg. It would burn down. Then they'd go, because everything burnt down back then. So anyway, then they went to Westport, and they built a hotel. And then they got out of the hotel business and put a sawmill on Hulls Valley in Covelo. And my grandfather, Frank, was raised there. He would become a school teacher at the turn of the century. And ultimately, he would become, and his dad would unfortunately develop a terrible drinking problem. And he, my grandfather, Frank, would have to go drag his dad out of the Buckhorn Saloon in Covelo. My grandfather grew up with such a hatred of alcohol that never a drop, because he saw what it did to his family. Ultimately, this is that he would move and become a person that they would name an elementary school after in Ukiah, right? So one fateful day, I get a phone. My secretary says, "Hey, there's somebody here who say that they're your relatives, but you've never met them." I thought, well, that's kind of scary. So they come in, and it was an older lady and her daughter, and here's who they were. They were part of the Zeke family that still resides in Oregon and Washington. Finding out that they have a yearly gathering of all the Zekes, all right? But our side of the family has never been asked. And you know why? Because great-grandfather ran off with his wife's sister. We had shamed the name. Well, my grandfather realized, hey, I'm going to be different. So he was a servant. He loved the Lord and elder of the Presbyterian Church. And so it's a dichotomy, isn't it, right? So somebody didn't think highly of a name and it was tainted. Somebody said, you know what, I'm going to make something for myself and change that. And here's the thing, is that we live with the reality that as a Christian, our Father in heaven, holy be his name, that not every Christian has held that dear. And so you don't quite know when you share Christ with someone who may have, that people may have already misrepresented Jesus into the soul of the people you're talking to. There's not much you can do about that. But here's what you can do. You can live a holy life that reflects who God truly is. That's the change. That's one of the reasons why I believe that only 5% of the people in Lake County go to church. There's not enough light. Dwight Moody said this about lighthouses. He says, they don't have to ring any bells. They just need to shine their light. So when people don't go to church, don't seek the Lord in Lake County, we have to take ownership of the fact that maybe the Christians that they've run into have been lousy Christians. Poor examples of people who are supposed to represent a holy God. My father-in-law, who's with the Lord now, businessman, started his own lumber company, you know, with his own hands, you know, in his late 50s, early 60s. Got to the point before he was saved where if someone on the line would say, hey, you can trust me, I'm a Christian, he would not do business with them. Because in every occasion, that person ripped him off. Friends, if you're a Christian, you don't have to say, trust me, I'm a Christian. Just be trustworthy. Amen. So anyway, we want to look here as to what this all means. Does it mean holy is your name, and the word holy, hagios, is an adjective, like clear lake is an clear is an adjective. The word here is not an adjective. It's a verb. which means, may your name be glorified. Holy be your name. It's an action. And it's interesting here, in the Greek, it's in the aorist imperative. I mean, that doesn't mean nothing to anybody, but that means something to me. It means there's an urgency to it. Oh Lord, holy be your name. Now, I've always seen that as something that, if it's a verb, that's something that I'm involved with, and that's true, and we'll talk about that. But it also is something that God, Lord, let your name be holy, made holy, shown holy. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. And so part of it is a combination of what God desires to do and what he has called us to be. So there's two things. One is the word holy, which is a verb to make holy. That's the word hallowed. We don't usually use that word much, but if you go to Gettysburg, that's hallowed ground, right? It's hallowed ground because we have made it hallowed. If you wanted to say, hey, to the Gettysburg people, hey, I think I'd like to have a flag football game out on the amongst the, they would say, no, you can't do that. Why? Because it's a hallowed ground. So the first is the name hallowed. The second is the word name. Now we need to understand, for the Hebrew, the word name wasn't just a person's name. My name, Gary, Zeke's a Dutch name. Gary means spear bearer, you know, in Germanic. So I am a spear bearer, okay? And I'm pretty sure my parents are thinking, gee, we need to name him spear bearer, you know? There's two R's in Gary because they wanted me to be special. And I do feel special. But when you go to southern New Zealand where they're Scottish and they don't know what to do with R's, they just roll them, Gary. That was it. I'm Gary. So there's my name. But in the name of God, he is saying holy is his name. Here's some interesting passages about this in Psalm 9 verse 10. Those who know thy name put their trust in thee. Psalm 20 verse 7, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we boast of the name of the Lord our God. So, what does hallowed be thy name mean? It means enabling us to give the Lord the unique place in his nature and character which deserves and demands. We're putting God in our own hearts in the rightful place. And we're asking that his name be glorified and magnified throughout the earth. Now, there's only a word that we have in the American or the English language is the word to revere. That's really the closest to hallowed means to revere. One of my seminary professors, a guy named D. Edmund Hebert, one of the great scholars of New Testament. He says it means to set apart, to consecrate, carries the thought of a resultant holiness of character. What we are doing when we pray this phrase is we are acknowledging God as holy and unlike any other. There are no multitude of gods. There is one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's one Savior. There's one Father of us all, and we know who that is. Unfortunately, the fact is that often those who bear his name, because he has given that name as a trust to his children. So here's what it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 20 to 21. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of the land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. So the people of Israel had the holy name of God that they were supposed to be guardians of, and they didn't do a very good job with it, right? The book of Romans picks up the same thought to the church. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So this is a great pressure, isn't it? I mean, I can't answer for the nut jobs that made the Crusades happen. That was a really bad idea. Let's go kill a bunch of people in the Holy Land for God. You know, I'm pretty sure they didn't never ask the Lord. Or whether it be to enslave people or whatever it may be. I'm still reading this, the diary and the log of Captain Cook. And he went to this island and he tried to be nice to these people and to share Christian morality. And the problem was this, is that other people had been there in the name of Christ. They were Spaniards. And they had taken and pillaged and ravaged people in the name of the cross. Well, that's a hindrance then to the gospel, isn't it? So here's what I have to tell you. In our lives, in my life, in this life of this church, let us do nothing that would diminish his name. Simple, right? And so we want to talk more about that. Interesting enough, in the Jewish background, one of the Jewish backgrounds for the Lord's Prayer is a prayer called the Kaddish, often prayed at the close of all their synagogue services. Here's the Kaddish. Exalt and hallowed be thy great name in the world, which he created according to his will. May he let his kingdom rule in your lifetime and in your days and in the lifetime of the whole of Israel, speedily and soon. Friends, what I want to learn from the Lord's Prayer is the Lord saying, listen, here's how you can address your Heavenly Father. And in the second part, he's saying, boy, but you need to address him with reverence. And there's a part of how in my life I have the privilege of making his name known as the Holy God who loves every man, woman, and child. I believe whosoever will may come, not because I believe, because that's what the Bible says. God so loved the whole world, not just Americans or rich people, people of privilege. He loved everyone. I have the privilege, and we all have the privilege, of introducing people to that God. So if the closest word that we can understand is the word reverence, then let's unpack the word reverence. What five essential things about that? First, in order to have reverence for God, we must believe that God exists. Right? He's just not an idea or a concept. I love what an old-timer, before I get to that. In the Bible, the existence of God is not debated. And if you were a mathematician, it would be called an axiom. Axiom is a self-evident fact which does not need to be proved. So the two points is a straight line. Parallel lines will never intersect. Different things like that. Friends, the Bible is not a book trying to prove the existence of God. It takes as an axiom, God exists. This is where I get to William Paley, old argument. His old argument was this. You're walking along and you trip over something and you look down and then there's a gold watch. And you pick up the gold watch and you've never seen a watch before. And you go, wow, look at this. You take it apart and there's gears and it's winding and it's going and there's a thing you can do. This. And you would come to the conclusion, here's what he said, all these metals and jewels came together from the ends of the earth by chance. By chance they made themselves into wheels and levers and springs, and by chance assembled themselves into this mechanism, and by chance wound themselves up to set themselves going, and by chance acquired their obvious orderly working. He says, no way. There's no way that that watch is there by chance. Somebody had to make that watch and place it there. Sir James Jean said, no astronomer then can be an atheist. They look at the heavens, they go, wow, you know. So we look at not only our existence, but we also look at our own life, how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we have reverence for him. Why? Because he created us. We're not an accident. If you believe that all of existence and all of life is just an accident, that maybe it's reproduced by accident other places in the cosmos, then that's your own business. But that's not what the Bible says. And I think it's a very hopeless and dark position to take. Because if that's the case, then you're on your own. But according to the Bible, we're not on our own. He is our Heavenly Father, and his name is to be hallowed or revered. The third thing is this. The second thing is this. Before we can revere God, we must, and we know he's our creator, we must understand that our place with that, that we then are the creation and we owe something to him. Then he's the king and what? We're not. And I know this, is that I wrestle with this all the time. I want to be, you know, when I wake up and I take over stuff and I want to do this, then I want to be king because I, whatever, it's a power trip. And we can't do that. So the second thing, if God created us and he's our Heavenly Father, then we must bow to him. The next thing is this, is that before we can truly revere God, we must know the kind of God he is. And he has revealed himself completely, I believe, in the Bible. Now, interesting enough, before Sue and I moved from New Zealand, the last year we were there, she actually bought tickets for me to go on a helicopter because there were icebergs right off the coast of South New Zealand. And she bought one. She wanted me to be able to go and say I was on an iceberg on my birthday, you know. But then there was clouds and stuff. I didn't get to go. But ultimately, we know about icebergs that sometimes only 10% of the iceberg is being actually shown. It's 90% of it. And I do believe this. If God is who he is, he is. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. I don't completely get that. Why? Because I got a pea-sized brain and he's eternal God. So part of it is, though, is that I can know him because he has revealed himself. And he has revealed himself, the Father has revealed himself completely in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the exact representation of the Father. That's what it tells us in the book of Hebrews. So he's a God who is holy. He is a God who is just. He is a God who is loving. He is a God who is eternal. And I believe that he doesn't contradict himself in what he does. The next thing we know, if reverence is necessary, then I think it's, if God is who he is, the creator, and he's the king and we're not, then also, I should have a constant awareness of that reality. And we can't afford, and often I do, and I confess I was, you know, 1 minute late to being here because I was in the room over there going over my notes, and I was just thinking about all the cool hymns and songs there are about the name of God. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. There's just something about that name. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Man, there's so many songs. And I was just kind of geeking out about that, you know. And all of a sudden I go, whoop, I got to be preaching, you know. But here's the thing, is the issue of a constant awareness of God. If God is who he says he is, then he is, then our nearness to him is our good and our strength. And it's my prayer that you would not have a surfacey relationship with the God who loves you, who's done everything. And that means we need to spend time with Him, talking to Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We'll unpack that as we go. Crying out for Your needs. And here's what we do. I think this is that when we spend less time in prayer, it makes us weaker, not stronger. And one of the greatest ways you can hallow the name of the Lord is to address Him in a holy way. He's the King. If there's something in your life right now that doesn't belong there, and you're holding on to it, then that's just wrong. Because He's the King. He's not trying to just mess with you. He's your Heavenly Father. He knows what's best. So if He says, forgive, then forgive. If He says, don't do that, then don't do it. Reverence means a constant awareness of who God is. And lastly, there remains one further ingredient in reverence, and I believe this. Reverence is knowledge plus obedience. You can know all these things. You can read all the books about it, who God created and how He did this and whatever, how He's a very present help in time of trouble. But if in fact you say, I'm just going to do my thing. It's going to be my life. This is my church. No, it's not. This is His church, right? This is His family. And so we surrender to Him. And so it begs the question is, how is in our life are we hallowing His name? Here's some practical implications. First is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. You are thus to be holy to Me, for I am the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be Mine. So we are, as He's holy, He has set us apart to be His holy people. He's got a special job for us to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 to 16 says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So, that means I need to address my Heavenly Father because I got a pea brain and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that doesn't line up with what holiness, Your holiness? And He'll tell me. Because He desires, because when I pray that way, man, He is right in line with His will for my life, that I may be holy as He is holy. So here's what happens when there's stuff in your life that doesn't belong there. You stop praying because you don't really want to hear what God has to say. Right? I just want to talk to God because He'll tell me not to do this or to do this or whatever. So we just stop praying. Or our prayers are flimsy prayers instead of really talking to Him. Ray Steadman, who I had a chance to meet, he's with the Lord now. He's a friend of my pastor in Modesto. Here's what Ray Steadman said about it. This is the petition that makes hypocrites out of all of us, or most of us. For we can say, Father, with grateful sincerity, but when we pray, hallowed be Thy name, we say this with guilty knowledge that as we pray, there are areas of our life in which His name is not hallowed, and in which, furthermore, we don't want it to be hallowed. When we say, hallowed be Thy name, we are praying, may the whole of my life be a source of delight to You, Father, and may it be an honor to the name which I bear, which is Your name, hallowed be Your name. Man, this is where it really hits, you know. He's our Heavenly Father. He's in heaven. That's great. But Lord, may Your name be hallowed in my life and in the church's life. I've been a pastor now a long time, and every church I've ever been in said, hey, does so-and-so go to your church? Yeah? Well, I'm not going then. Whoa. All right. I'm sure that people have said that about me. Hopefully not. But the fact is this, is that, you know, here's the problem, is that there's people watching your life. And the point is this, is that I think that as God has called us to be holy, there's a lot of writing on that. Here's 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son, cleanses us from all sin. We realize this, is that by praying this prayer, holy be your name, it demands this, that we stay close to Him, and we are going to Him saying, man, only Jesus, only You, Lord, can make me holy. We had times going to have us sing the song, Holy, Holy is the Lord of Hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord. F.B. Meyer, that great man of God, was visiting a Scottish home. And it was wash day. And he looked out, and all the sheets were out being hung up, and they were just bright white. But then something interesting happened. It started to snow. And as it started to snow, the ground filled up with perfectly white, white. And across, he could see then the sheets and the white, white of the snow. And the sheets weren't really that white. Friend, I'm here to tell you, in your holiness, you don't compare yourself to myself or the person sitting next to you. We compare ourselves to our Heavenly Father. He alone is holy. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Better still, Christ is our holiness. We share around this table now, invite the servers to come, the men to come who will help us serve communion. We can only pray the prayer, Hallowed be Thy name, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We will only stand before Him. You know what? The only people who get to go to heaven are the holy ones. Not because we're all perfect, but we're holy because we have been made holy by the blood of the Lamb. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now as we go to this table that we would remember that we are only holy because You have made a way for us to be holy. We ask, Lord, that as we partake in these elements, that we ourselves would not do this in an unworthy manner. None of us is perfect, but Lord, that we would purposely not be holding things back from You, because that would be wrong. It would be disobedient. So Lord, help us as we take this to remind ourselves of Your love and mercy towards us and the high calling that we have to be the bearers of Your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus said, let us do this in remembrance of him. Jesus said in the same way, he took the cup, representing the new covenant, he representing the blood of the perfect, blameless, holy Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. The book of Romans says that while we were yet his enemies, he died for us. And so as you participate in this cup, hold on to it, meditate upon it, say, Lord, the holy, holy God made a way for us to be holy in his presence through the blood of the Lamb. We don't deserve it, but what he deserves is then for us to live in a manner worthy of all that he's done. If there are things in our lives that are not worthy, then turn them over even now. And God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But let's make sure as we meditate upon this cup, we realize that God made a way for us to be with him. Said that when we take this cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. You know, he's going to come again. The world's pretty crazy right now. But until he comes again, let me encourage each one of us to hallow his name, to revere the name that you bear as a child of God. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Amen. On the way out, we'll be having a retiring offering, for a benevolence offering for those who come who have special needs that we can bless them with. Let's stand together and sing. Let's do this one. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If you don't know it, just follow along. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The whole earth is filled of his glory. Glory is the Lord. Heavenly Father, send us now bearing your name, Lord, that we would share in every corner of this place the hope that we bear. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day and great week.